Trigger warning, this episode contains child loss. Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of the Never Fully Understood podcast. My name is Fatima Garba and I am your host. It feels so good to be back into your speakers and your ears this weekend. I hope you guys enjoyed the last episode. Well, this week, my co-host is Nadine Ibrahim. For those of you who do not know, Nadine is a filmmaker and also the brains behind Beyond the Veil. If you've not watched Beyond the Veil, I really do not know what you are doing. Anyway, you guys, on today's episode, she gets real with us and we discuss her losses. If you've been following her on Instagram, you will see that she shares her journey. And immediately I saw one of her posts, I reached out to her and I was so happy when she said yes, she would love to, you know, come on this podcast and speak. Thank you, Nadine. Thank you so much. There's so much to learn from this episode. There's so much that we take for granted in our society. And I'm so happy we're able to touch on these issues. Not only the things that we take for granted, the things that we think are such a taboo that we do not speak about and we should actually talk about. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. And also share if you like the episode. You guys should tag us whenever you post on Instagram. When you post on your Instagram stories, tag us and we will repost. Make sure you follow our shows on whatever platform it is that you're listening to this on. Thank you so much, guys. Enjoy.
Can you hear it a lot?
Okay, so it's so good to have you here today. Can you tell us what it was like, you know, like your first loss experience? Can you tell us what it was like?
Okay, so I've had 5 losses. It's hard to keep track sometimes. And the very first one was, I believe, in 2017. And it was obviously, I guess, the most shocking one of them all, because it's not something that I was familiar with and it's not something I thought I would ever have to go through. It was, so I was newly married and we decided we wanted to start trying for a baby immediately because we were of the opinion that have your babies and then your career straight after. So we started trying and we got lucky and we got pregnant. I'd say lucky back then, but not so lucky now that I know the story. So we found out that we were pregnant, and at the time I used to live in Kaduna. So we moved to, we used to live in Kaduna and I didn't quite trust the hospitals there. So we decided to go to Abuja to see a doctor. So we went there and we did some scans and they said that they couldn't see anything, but because it was so early, we needed to wait till I think it was the six week mark before you can see something on a scan. So we went about our lives. I had to go to Lagos for work. I came back, we went back to Kaduna. And then at some point, wow, it seems so long ago. At some point I started bleeding. So we went back to do more scans and there was a lot of miscommunication with the doctors in terms of what exactly was wrong with me. So I kept getting different diagnoses. That was in Kaduna and in Abuja. So we ended up going to a doctor that we were told was one of the best in Nigeria. And we went to see him and he basically said that I was having an early miscarriage and they needed to treat me for that. So obviously it was like a very traumatic process because, you know, the excitement of finding out you're pregnant, newlywed, and then all of a sudden then you're told that you're having a miscarriage and it's your first pregnancy. So it was quite a whirlwind of like emotions. So I was treated for that. I was given medication for that. And the process was very heartbreaking. You know, there's a lot of bleeding involved that people don't talk about, physical and emotional stress that it causes onto you. So after that, I still was experiencing some sort of pain after the treatment. And I started getting this thing called shoulder tip pain, which also I didn't know about back then. Shoulder tip pain, yeah. And it's basically where you kind of have pain radiating through your arm. And at the time, I complained about it. So I went back to the same doctors and I complained about it. And they said that there was nothing wrong. They checked my heart. They checked everything. And they said I was fine. And they said that maybe it was a mental issue. So automatically, I was now told that I was going through like some sort of mental issue because, you know, I just had a miscarriage. But for me, I knew there was something more because I was feeling physical pain. And I also wasn't like myself anymore. So it was kind of like a long journey, basically, from being told that you're pregnant to being told that you're having a miscarriage, for being treated for a miscarriage, and then still kind of having some sort of issues after that. So around the time my mom came to visit and she saw how I was and she wasn't quite comfortable with the way I was, so she decided that we'd go to London just for a checkup. And when we got to London, we went to the hospital and immediately we were told that I had a rupture and I was internally bleeding and I was having a ruptured ectopic pregnancy. So I was misdiagnosed the first time. So I was rushed into surgery. I lost one of my tubes and so I had to have the surgery and it was very crazy. It was a very crazy experience because from, you know, being told that like you would be okay to the worst case scenario is very frightening. So it was a real learning curve for me.
Wow, what a heavy misdiagnosis. Like, how do you say? So they treated you for a miscarriage, meanwhile you still had ectopic pregnancy.
Yeah. But all the time that I was being told that I was having mental issues and I needed to just like treat myself, I was actually going through internal bleeding. We don't know when it's ruptured, but I was literally dying. And I was told that I was having some mental issues and it was all in my head. Yeah.
That's crazy. Alhamdulillah, you got out of that safe and healthy. Subhanallah. So like, was it after then you now like got pregnant again? And
First, that was my first experience with loss. The second time around, so because of the treatment with the surgery and all of that, we were told to wait a little bit so the body would heal because I'd been through so much trauma. So after a while, I got pregnant again. I was also told that I wouldn't be able to get pregnant as fast as I did the first time because I only have one tube. So this is also like something that was new to me. Like, you know, your human body, like, do women even know what it means to have a baby? It's not just about, you know, having sex, but also about, you know, how does your body work? So for me, I didn't even know things about the fallopian tubes, about like how things worked. So it was very interesting to actually kind of learn that process and understand what it actually meant. So the second time around, after a few, I think maybe I gave it about 6 to 8 months, I got pregnant again, but this time around I ran to London because I was like, I don't trust like the healthcare system here in Nigeria at all because of the, you know, the turbulent experience that I had. So I went there and I think, again, I started bleeding, went to the hospital, and then they said that I was having a miscarriage. So that was just a miscarriage that my body kind of just dealt with on its own. And then after that, I had another one again. It was almost like I was trapped in a cycle of constantly trying to conceive. Not trying to conceive, I was okay with conceiving. It was keeping the baby that was always the issue. So I was trapped in this cycle of constantly trying to have a baby. And it not working out. And then it wasn't even just, okay, try again in a few months. Something traumatic would happen, like either the surgery or another ectopic pregnancy, which was the third time around again. I would have to really let my body heal before I would try again. So it wasn't until after how many years of marriage? I think maybe, when did I have my son? I had my son in 2020. So, and I got married in 2017, so 18, 19. So about 3 years I was on and off basically trying to. And alhamdulillah, I have my son now.
So like, what was your reaction and like how have you been able, like the more you lose these babies, like did it get better or was it just getting worse, like your mental health and the feeling, was it getting better or worse?
It was, I think I would say it constantly was worse. because it was reoccurring. It's one of those things where when it happens to you the first time, you kind of feel like you've gone through the worst part, and by God's grace, it won't happen again. So when it keeps happening again, it's hard to deal with, because then you're thinking, okay, when is the last time going to be the last time? So I would say with every pregnancy loss, it was harder. It kept getting harder. Yeah.
And I think in our society, if you have like one miscarriage, you'll be like, oh, it's normal, people have it. And then when you now have the second one, it's like, uh-uh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like okay, so what is wrong? Yeah, no, it's hard, especially when you realize, like you said, it's okay, so what's wrong? Because one time, okay, some people have it, but when it's reoccurring, then it's like, okay, something is wrong with you, what's the matter? And that's when it starts to, you know, eat at you, and you're thinking, okay, like, what is actually wrong with me? Yeah.
Okay, so can you please speak on post-miscarriage, like physical and mental health? You know, just tell us your experience, and also like just in general speak on it.
I think with miscarriages, people don't really know what to expect. Even with the whole process, like I said, of, you know, trying to conceive and actually have a baby, it's a whole process, but it's one of those things where people just brush through as if it's like easy, but it's actually not. So with a miscarriage, your body deals with a trauma, you know, your body gets ready to have a baby, the baby actually starts to form in your body, and then all of a sudden something happens and it has to like let it go. So the physical trauma of it all is very real, as much as it is the mental, and I think people don't talk about it as much as they should. With the physical, you know, it does a lot to you in like it's trauma. Like there's no other word to describe it apart from your body going through a trauma, because it's not something that should naturally happen. You know, it should go to full term. And with the mental side of things, it's definitely harder in this society because people are not talking about it, and like, you know, it's a taboo to talk about it, and when you do, it's kind of like hide your shame, go back to your house, you know what I mean? But I find that the more that you talk about it, you actually do end up helping people because they know they're not alone, but you're also raising awareness for things that they should be looking out for. Like for instance, in my case, I never even knew there was something called ectopic pregnancy until I was diagnosed and almost died from it, you know? So being able to like educate people and say, yo, these are the signs you should look for, this shoulder tip pain, if you're feeling pain in your arm, don't disregard it. It's actually something that's to do with your pregnancy, you know? These are like things that I think are the most important things and reasons why I think that it should be spoken about.
Especially like the physical trauma also, because there's a lot of bleeding that goes into it. I think for some people, they give them these pills that induces labor, right? And then they now have to go through the pain of labor and they're not even having a baby. So
yeah. Yeah, so it really depends on when, at which point you're actually having a miscarriage. For me, most of mine came 10 weeks or lower or less. So I have never had to do DNC, which is a procedure where they actually have to remove the baby from the womb. And that is very traumatic because I know people through my journey that have told me they've been through that. So I think there are different markers for like how to deal with how it's dealt with in terms of like how far you've gone. I mean, people that I've met have spoken about, you know, having stillborns, like you said, having to induce the labor and actually have the baby and know it's not there. It's a very, very, very horrible experience.
Especially when it comes to stillborns, I'm like, oh my God, like, because you would... Some people will go through all the processes, like the breast milk will come in and you're not feeding any baby. I can just imagine, like, I can imagine how traumatic.
I think for a miscarriage, it's no matter what stage it happens, the pain is very real in every stage, whether it's like, whether a baby is formed or it's not, or where you actually get to carry the baby at the end. The process is just, it's insane, yeah.
Yes, I agree. Because at the end of the day, regardless of what stage the pregnancy was, it's still going to hurt. It's still going to hurt the same way. Okay, why do you think it is a taboo for us in our community to speak on miscarriages, IVF, and, you know, infertility and fertility in general? And have you ever been in a position whereby they told you not to speak about your experience?
Very earlier on with my first miscarriage, I was told definitely not to speak up about it, because primarily I think because people were worried about my safety, in terms of, you know how people say, oh, people feed on bad energy and all of that. So if you go out and say it now, somebody will pray for you and you won't have the baby, you know. So there's a lot of those kind of like superstitious beliefs that go around, especially in our society. But I feel like it does more harm than good. In my experience, I feel that if the more I speak up, the more it even helps me on my journey, as much as it helps other people, which I found that it does. I think it's one of those things with culture. I don't think it's religion. I think more so it's culture. Yeah. The idea that you shouldn't, as a woman, you should, you know, mask your pain, mask the negative things that are happening in your life, because people don't need to know. But I feel like, you know, that does more harm than good, because you're telling somebody to basically just keep quiet and go through something on their own. And I think that's wrong.
Especially like when there are so many people that are going through this. You'd be shocked. There are so many people that are going through this, and it's like, oh no, don't tell anybody. But I think we need to speak more about it, and we need to stop like associating it with shame. And it's not embarrassing. It can happen to anybody. And some people feel like if you're speaking about it, like, ah, you're not the only one. That's happened to other people and they didn't talk, so why are you talking? Mm-hmm. There's also that, like you said, honestly, it's not a religious thing. I don't even think it's a northern thing. I think it's like everywhere in Nigeria, and even in some countries, it's like you don't speak about these things. And I'm really glad we're having this conversation. Yeah, so like, how are you able to like just remain hopeful and positive, you know, like on this journey?
I think having the support around me. My husband is very supportive. I have a really strong family units that are constantly checking in on me. I think that's very important for somebody to actually go through this, so you know you're not alone. I think also having faith that it will happen and not giving up. For me, I had four before I had my son, and I had one more after him. And I honestly thought it would be less painful after having miscarriages after him, because I have him, you know. So I feel like, okay, I at least I have one. But no, it's not even, it's not that. It's as painful as it is not having a child and then having a miscarriage than not. And I think that's also something that needs to be talked about as well, because in that instance, people have actually come up to me and said, with my most recent miscarriage, which was even the most one of the most traumatic, people come and say, well, at least you have your son, look at your son. And yes, like, alhamdulillah, I have my son, but at the same time, my body and my mental health still just went through another loss, you know? I would say just trying to remain hopeful and faithful that, you know, that it will happen, but also having that strong family support.
And like, is that still what, like what gives you the courage to, you know, keep trying, like, oh okay, let me just keep going, let me just, you know?
If I'm being 100% honest with myself right now, looking at my son, he's everything to me. I think everybody knows if you know me, you know Nabil. He's my everything right now. But more, the reason why I feel like I keep going right now in terms of trying to have a second child is for him. So I say this a lot. It's not necessarily for me. Of course, I'd love another child, but more so because I feel like he needs a partner in life. And for me, that's a goal that I don't want to let go of. When I see my sister and her kids, and I see how she has her three beautiful kids, and they're there for each other, and I see how I am with my siblings, I feel like that is something that I don't want to deprive him of. And I feel like that is something very important, that sibling relationship that I have with mine. I feel like it's important that I try to give that to him. It might not even be through like me having my baby, but it could be through adoption. But I know for sure that I want to give him a sibling.
That's so beautiful. I hope Allah makes that process easy for you. Okay, so what would you say is the best way to support people who are going through this? Like, what do we say and what should we not say?
As I've said this a lot before, and I feel that women are always the ones that are the worst in terms of like what they give to people that are going through miscarriages, and it's shocking because it's us women that go through it. So I think it's one of those things where I feel like let the woman speak before you do. There are many times where people come up and say the wrong things, like, oh, when are you, like when somebody just gets married recently and then you go and ask, oh, are you pregnant yet? Those sort of questions, they're very hurtful because you don't know what people are going through, you know? So I think it's one of those things where it's like, respect people's privacy. And yes, a woman is supposed to have children, but in some cases, it's not her fault that she doesn't, you know? So I think it's just being mindful of the way you approach, you know, women. And I think one of the best things is just speaking up. I mean, I don't think I'm ever going to stop, no matter how many times I go through my miscarriages or how many babies I have. I don't think I'm ever going to stop speaking up about my experiences because I know it's helping other women out there. And then also creating these safe spaces, you know. I feel like there are very few safe spaces where women can come together and actually talk about their experiences and not feel stigmatized or the blame game, you know. So I feel like it's one of those things where we need to encourage.
And I also would like to like say, like, I feel people need to allow women grieve when they go through miscarriages, because I think everyone is like, oh, it's gone, like, it's either just shake it up. But people don't allow, like, it's like, oh, you, since you didn't hold the baby, why are you grieving? Like, you need to just move on. So, like, can you also speak on that? Like, just allowing women grieve, like, they just lost their baby. It's really deep.
Yeah.
It's really, like, I swear, people make it look like miscarriages are not deep. Like, ah, what's it now? It happens to people. So, like, how should we, you know, do better in allowing people, like, your wives, your sisters, just allow them, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, well, the first thing is that we have to start educating people on what it is, because the reason why people dismiss miscarriages is because they don't know about it. They don't know what it actually, like, the effects of it physically or mentally. So I think the first thing we have to do is actually start educating people on what it is, so they can get a better understanding of why it is important to let people grieve and let people take their time out when they need to. Women are different, and everybody copes with, you know, loss and trauma in different ways. It might take me a week or two to get over something. It might take somebody else a year. I think the most important thing is shedding light and actually raising awareness and educating people about how it feels, so they know before they speak up the next time.
I feel like even for, like, when it happened in my family, I didn't really think of it as anything serious till it happened to us. And because we get so hopeful.
Yeah.
And it would just be like, oh, it's like bananas I'm having here. And it's like, oh, okay, if we are feeling this way, then I can imagine what she was going through.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, can we just give this person time to process and understand? And I think at a point, she even kept on feeling as if she was a disappointment. Like, oh, okay, why can't I do this? Like, everybody... And hello, it's not everybody that can do it, you know? And there's just this feeling like, oh my God, like, why can't I do this? Everybody's doing so easy for everybody. Why can't I do this?
Yeah.
So you imagine, like, having to go through all these things and then your feelings are just getting dismissed. Like, mm-hmm. It's a lot.
It's definitely something we need to work on. I think back then, the statistic was 1 in 4 women have miscarriages or pregnancy loss. I don't even know what it is now, but I feel like it's actually increased. It's definitely something that literally the next person beside you is going through or will go through. And it's one of those things that you can't really explain the feeling you feel, you know. It's like, it's a pain that only you can feel. No matter how much you want to be considerate towards certain people, when you have a loss of a child, I feel like that is one of the most painful things you'll ever experience in your life. Loss of a child or a baby is something I never wish for anyone.
Yes, it is said to be one of the worst pains we could ever imagine. Okay, so how can we as a community, you know, do better when it comes to women who are trying to conceive? How can we be kinder to these women?
Well, for starters, I feel like our hospitals need to do better, you know. Like I said, I knew nothing about ectopic pregnancies or miscarriages or anything about how to, like, the biology of how to conceive, right? When I first got married. So I feel like that's definitely a conversation that needs to be had in households. Mothers need to do better in educating their daughters on what it means to actually have a baby, but also to let them know that the possibilities are positive and negative, you know, so they know what they're going into when they go into it. I think that's very important. I think hospitals need to do better also in terms of, you know, how they treat people that are going through these things. But also when you go to the hospital for when you start trying to conceive, you know, they need to do better in educating you on what to expect, not just, okay, it will happen, you know, because when it doesn't, then who's to blame? I think those are the 2 points that I'd make.
Yeah, and I think also women need to trust themselves. Like, you knew something was wrong with you, even though they told you that, oh, it was just all in your head. And you know, there are so many doctors and nurses that I feel like they are so experienced and they just dismiss, you know, what you're feeling. So I think it also has to do with, like, you need to trust yourself also.
Yeah.
Okay, so lastly, can we speak on, like, IVF? Like, have you ever been through that journey? And, like, do you think it's something you would, like, want to get? Like, do you think it's a journey you'd want to, you know, get on?
IVF is definitely a big taboo in our society. I think now more than before, people are becoming more accepting of it. I have never had IVF before. Funnily enough, the last with Nabil, before I had him, we said, okay, this is the last time we're trying naturally, and if it doesn't work out, we're going to IVF, and alhamdulillah, it happened. But after him, I've had another miscarriage before, an ectopic actually, that I'm actually still healing from today. So our next steps, we have been advised that actually, you know, I've had three ectopic pregnancies now. So we have been actually advised to seek the IVF route for my own safety and health, as opposed to, and also, like, you know, trying to have another baby. So it is something that we're exploring, and it is something that I hope to share my experience on when I you know, delve into that, because again, that is not easy, because it doesn't always happen the first time, you know. And it's not something that's easily accessible because of funding, because for financing and how much it costs. So yeah, it's a scary journey that I am about to embark on.
Okay, we're looking forward to hearing your story, you know, of when, you know, you go through it. So if everyone that's following you on Instagram would definitely see it. Okay, so can you briefly tell us what your foundation has been up to and how that has been going so far?
Okay, so with my foundation, Nyla Foundation, which we started primarily because of raising awareness for pregnancy and infancy loss, what we are planning on doing over the next few months is making videos to kind of shed light on what to expect when you're trying to conceive. What to expect when you're having a miscarriage or an ectopic pregnancy, but generally just to raise awareness of signs that you should watch out for, and also just sharing my own personal experiences to let people know that this is something that is happening and it could happen to you. We don't wish that it happens to any woman, but it does, and that's the reality of things. So Nyla Foundation is definitely trying to raise awareness on that front.
Thank you so much for answering all these questions. I know it's going to help so many women, honestly. I just know, even if people that haven't gone through it know that, okay, like, okay, it's a possibility, this can happen to me, and there's nothing wrong with it. Like, yeah, I will heal, I will be fine, and I'm not the only one.
Yeah, thank you for shedding light on a very important issue.